Everybody say, grow together. That's what it's all about. And that's why we're here this morning. And that's why we're working down through the book of James. So go with me to James chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. You can follow along on your iPad or your iPod or whatever electronic device tickles your fancy. Or you can follow along in a traditional Bible. Or you can follow along on the screen. We just want you to follow along, okay? James chapter 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or ships, as an example, although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So I want to start this morning with a simple question. Why words? Why is James writing to us about our words in this first part of this chapter? And I just wanted you to think about the last couple of days. Just think about your words. Since you've opened your eyes this morning, what kind of words have you put forth? Just ponder on that for a moment. At work this past week, when you were dealing with people there, what kind of words spoke forth out of your mouth? What kind of speech did you use with people that you came into contact with? So why words? Well, I would submit to you this morning, church, is that our words are powerful and full of power. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to just think about this for a moment. How many of you at any point in your life have been crushed by someone else's words? And I would tell you that most of us in this room have had some kind of experience where words devastated us. Words that were spoken to us devastated us. Maybe you were in an abusive relationship. Maybe some of you guys had a girlfriend that, man, whew, she really knew how to get to you and to just beat you down with her words. She never laid a hand on you. Or vice versa. Maybe you had a relationship, could have been a boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife, and they knew how to just shrink you down with the power of their words. So how about this? Because so many of us are a part of education. Maybe you had a teacher that knew how to just crush you with words. We've shared this story many times. One of our buddies who's a pastor, he used to talk about his PE coach saying to him about his teeth, that he could probably chew briars through a picket fence with those teeth at a very early age. And when I think about that, you know, in the moment, he probably was just joking and all that. But my friend at 25 and 30 years old still carried that with him and was self-conscious about his teeth because a teacher said something to him about his teeth. We don't think about how powerful our words are. Maybe in your situation, it was a mother or a father who, when they got irritated or when you got under their skin a little bit, man, they just let it fly and then all their frustrations flowed out on you. And you took those words to heart and you've held on to them. And man, at times it's devastated you. Because our words are powerful. And so this morning, I want us to begin to think about this. How many times have I been affected by my words? And that can be good or bad. How many times have I spoken words to someone that crushed them or hurt them or caused them not to see the kingdom of Christ in me because of my words? Listen, I know we're not mourning people, right? I know Mondays are the worst day on earth, right? And I know you haven't had your coffee, and until you can get your coffee, man, you're liable to say anything, right? But man, maybe we should slow down for a moment and step back and look at the situations that we're in and what kind of words are we speaking from our mouths? Because our words are powerful. Just as I asked you a moment ago, if you've ever been crushed with words, most of you can see that person in your mind. You can probably even see what they were still wearing when they spoke those words. Well, what about you this morning? Can you think of a moment, man, you just wished you could have took those words back? I can think of so many, unfortunately. That I wish the moment they left my lips, that I could have just grabbed them and pulled them back, but it was too late. It was too late. And then we have to deal with the repercussions of what have happened. You can see it in your mind now. Why our words are powerful. Listen to what the proverb says in 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. You don't believe that? Any of you with small children, just speak to them and say, come here, buddy. I love you. I love you. You're the best thing ever. And you don't even have to say detrimental words. Just change your tone. Look at them and go, I love you. You're the best thing ever. And just watch how they'll change. Don't go home and do that to your kids, all right? Don't, please. All right? Don't do that. Don't put that online that Pastor Ivan said to go home and talk that way to your children. Please don't. But most of you probably experienced, because in a moment of frustration, we spout it off to our kids and we see them cower away. And working with children, you can see when we say things, man, they'll turn. Or if we get too close to them, you can tell the ones that have had hands laid on them quite too often, because they'll turn away from you and cower down. And we've done the same thing sometimes with our words to people. And we have the ability to give them life or the ability to give them death. And too often in this world, the only thing we're spewing is the poison that brings forth death, rather than speaking the things of Christ and the hope that brings life. Because of the current situation that we're in, or because how we're frustrated, or our coffee hasn't kicked in. Listen, our words are potent in whatever manner that they're used. They're powerful in whatever situation they come forth in. And God is our ultimate example. Anybody remember the first part of Genesis when God spoke and all the miraculous things that happened? God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was what? God spoke and said, take form. And guess what happened? Things took form. God spoke and flung into the sky, into the universe, to the galaxies, the Milky Way, whatever, how many galaxies and universes are out there. He spoke and they became into existence. So likewise, if we're made in the image of our Creator, our words have similar power. And you say, well, Ivan, I can't speak a universe into existence. No, but guess what? You can speak life into someone's destiny. Ivan, I can't speak and cause things to light up. Really? Really? Because if you speak with passion, have you ever been around someone who spoke and something inside of you started turning and you're like, Lord, have mercy, what is happening? And all of a sudden you knew something different was taking place and you had to go do something. Well, what was just spoken to you about? Listen, you have the same power. You have the same ability. You are going to speak life or you're going to speak death into souls. And our job on this earth, in this whole passage of James, the whole chapter, the whole book, is teaching us about Christian living and how we should be displaying the kingdom of God. Listen to me, church. If you're not different in your speech, they're not seeing the kingdom of God. If you're sitting at the water cooler or in the break room and you're talking just like everybody else in there and you're using the same language and the same lingo, they're not seeing the kingdom of God. They're seeing someone who's no different than they are. And what they need is a leader and not another follower. I can tell you, working with 1,100 students on a daily basis, and so many of you in this room that are educators, the world doesn't need another follower. Listen, we have an army's worth of followers. The world needs some leaders and people who will speak good things into other people's lives. Your words are powerful. What are you doing with your words today? What are you speaking? Are you speaking it into your children? Are you speaking it into those that you come around? I don't know if anybody saw this week. Amazing dad, and he was videoing his son in the back of the seat. Go home and put it on YouTube. And he has this creed that every day his son recites before he gets out of the car and goes into the school. And he didn't have it all the way memorized, but the dad's speaking into him. And he's like, "I'm strong." And the little boy says, "I'm strong." And he says, "I'm smart." And the little boy says, "I'm smart." And as they start off, you know, he's not into it. By the end, he's all bowed up and he's like, "I'm going to school." And you see this kid as his dad is speaking these words and the son is reciting them, how it just wells up within him. And he's ready to go tackle the world at 6, 7 years old. Wow. What if we started our days like that? I will tell you, I did this with my oldest daughter and I do it with my youngest. Every morning before we get to school, man, we pray. We pray for our church. We pray for our families. We pray for you. We pray for all these things. And then we end our prayer like this: God, help us do something great for your kingdom today. And then we don't go, "Oh, we're here. Get out of the car." Right? We kick the door open and we get out and say, "We're here." Right? Not every day. But guess what? In our minds, that's what we see when we speak life to other people. Husbands, you have the same power with your wives and your children. Wives, you have the same power when you're supporting your husband to speak to them and say, "Man, I know you're hearing from God. Thank you for being a great husband. Will you get the towels out of the dryer?" Right? It's okay to add something extra in there. It's okay. Because we generally say, "Thank you, you're a great wife. Is dinner ready?" Right? Listen, you have the ability to speak amazing things into the life of others. Listen to what Matthew says this morning. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. "But I tell you that men, everyone, will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned." Wow. Every empty word. Man, what are empty words? Well, I don't know about you, but empty words can mean a lot of things. Spending time telling jokes that we shouldn't be telling. Spending time gossiping about people we shouldn't be gossiping about. Spending time surfing the internet and telling our friends about all things on there when we're supposed to be working on our boss's dime. Empty words. Words that have no power, have nothing. They're just useless. We're going to be acquitted by them, or we're going to be condemned by them. Matthew 12, 33 and 35 says, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Our tongue, let me translate that to layman's terms this morning. Our tongue relays what our heart believes. Our tongue relays what our heart is attached to and holds on to and harbors and tucks away. our tongue relays it. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So what you've stored up in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And if you've stored up trash in your heart, trash is going to flow forth. If you've stored up bitterness and frustration and anger and envy, then out of your mouth, all those things are going to flow and it's going to come forth in the form of your speech. The tongue makes great boasts. I love when it said that. Have you ever had the privilege of being around somebody who make great boasts? You know the one that always tells the stories and you're sitting there going, really? Because I thought that was an astronaut who did that. Anybody ever met somebody like that? And you're like, really? I thought I watched that on TV like 3 weeks ago on like a Dateline special. And they're telling all these amazing things they've done and all these places that they've been and how everything they touch just turns to gold. And sometimes I just want to say, hey, will you just touch me? I mean, because like everything you touch is amazing. Just breathe on me or something. And there's people who make great boasts because in their hearts, they're hiding something. And so with their mouth, they try to cover those things up. So I'm going to give you two simple things this morning as we move on down. The tongue operates out of two basic ideas. So if you're writing something down, you can write these down and go home and think about them. Number one, self-protection. The tongue either operates out of self-protection or self-exaltation. Self-protection or self-exaltation. And self-protection is where we get pushed against the wall and we come out swinging because we have to defend ourselves. And then lots of times, here's what happens when we're working in the attitude of self-protection. Lying. Or not necessarily, because we don't really lie. We just misrepresent the truth, right? Where am I misrepresenting? Don't raise your hand. Misrepresent the truth, people, right? I didn't really lie. I just didn't tell the whole story, okay? Yeah, you only gave the 25% and left the 75% out. You didn't lie. You just didn't give the whole story. We misrepresent the truth. So self-protection. Or we gossip because, and this is an age-old situation, we gossip about other people because when we're there and have everybody's attention, they can't be gossiping about us. And so we start things about other people to take the attention off of us. We call it middle school drama. Right? And the sad thing is, so many adults are still living in that same form and fashion. And if you work with a number of people, you understand exactly what I'm saying. You're thinking about those people now who constantly start rumors. Profanity, rudeness, misuse of God's name. And then self-exaltation is this, boasting. Man, I've done this. I climbed Mount Everest when I was 21 years old, made it to the top. First person my age. I'm the youngest person, ever done it. I didn't climb Mount Everest. I'm just giving an example. I have a 30-foot boat, and every weekend we go out, we catch marlin. I'm on the record holder for marlin in Florida. You should go with me sometime. I'm the youngest person to ever do this, youngest person to ever do that. And they have a whole string of self-exaltation for building themselves up. Or it's just, man, maybe one day you'll be able to do some of the things that I've done. Man, I hope that one day you'll be able to be as successful as I am. I hope that one day you'll be able to, you know, finish school like I did. I hope that one day, and there's all these things where they're not really boasting themselves, but they're boasting themselves at your expense. Self-exaltation. And here's the issue, folks. Without a redeemed heart, this is what we get. Without a redeemed heart, walking in the forgiveness and the cleansing power of the cross, this is what we get. We have to be redeemed and walk under the grace that comes from God. Because James just told us that no one can tame the what? No man can tame the tongue. So how does this happen? How do we move forward? We must continue to work towards taming that poison. But I submit to you this morning that you can only do it through the work of the cross. Through the work of the cross. Listen to what James said about the tongue. He said it's like a bit. The only way it can be tamed is like a horse. When they put that bit in there, this little bitty bit tackles it and makes it to obey. Then he gave the example of the ship, that though they're driven by strong winds and waves and all these things that happen, a tiny little rudder, a tiny flat piece of wood or steel turned in the right direction can sway the whole ship. And he likens our tongue to that power, that big things come from this tiny piece of anatomy. Wildfires. And I think about this in my situation, that how one little statement can run through a group of people like wildfire. And I'll be honest with you, I've actually worked for someone at times who would tell someone this just to see how long it went through the school, to see who all told who so they could figure it out. Now, I've never been to that leadership class that says start trouble so that you can fix it. Okay, I've never been to that class. But I know people that operate that way. They'll tell people something just to see if it gets back to them, whether you told them or not. They'll just start things. Well, how dysfunctional is that? And that's because the heart is not in the right place. But our words can build and destroy, and it can be like a wildfire, that a great forest is set on fire by such a small spark. So I want to wrap up the tongue with this today. The tongue is two-faced. Just think about when you think about our brokenness, our tongue is two-faced. The scripture tells us we praise and curse with the same part. Then we come in here and we praise God on Sundays and Wednesdays and we worship and tell God how thankful we are. And then we get in the car on the way home and we're laying on the horn and we're like, get the blankety blank out of the road. I'm in a hurry here. My roast is burning and I've got to go. I haven't preached too long. Calm. What is wrong with you? We're giving them our IQ out the window and all that stuff, right? And that's what it's talking about, that we praise and curse with the same mouth. Or we get frustrated and we're home on Sunday afternoons and we're working around the house and we stub our toe and we don't say, hallelujah, 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 right? We're like holy blankety blank and we're letting things, and the same things that have been tucked away begin to fall out. We praise and curse with the same mouth. But the Bible says that salt water and fresh water can't abide together. Here we call that brackish water. Anybody ever been in a little bit of brackish water in our area? It's not good. If you get it in your mouth, it tastes horrible. It kind of tastes like dirty river water and something really salty, some kind of salty Mexican food all together. It tastes nasty. It's gross. It's brackish. You know, it's dark and it's brown. It's not clean. And God is saying you have to be one or the other. You shouldn't be doing both. And you sure shouldn't be living this way. It's time, if you've been redeemed by the cross, to move over into a different form of speech. That our tongue shouldn't cause us to be a hypocrite. Now listen, church, I know that's the greatest excuse in the world for people not to go to church. I don't go to church because they're all hypocrites. Well, guess what? I go to church because I'm a hypocrite. And I need God's help every day to help me be a better person. Listen, I'm a hypocrite in God's grace. I'm a sinner in God's grace. I'm a broken, messed up person walking in God's grace because I've been redeemed. It doesn't mean I'm perfect or I've arrived or I have achieved or that I'm any better than the next person. It means that I'm trying to do my best to move towards sanctification, which is a big church word for living like God wants you to live. In righteousness, which means I'm walking away from sin because I don't want to live that way anymore. But it doesn't mean I don't stumble. What's the very first part that we just read this morning? It said we all stumble. We all fall. We all make mistakes. It doesn't mean we give up. It means we keep moving towards the prize and the goal that we see out in front of us, which is walking the way that God wants us to walk, doing the work that God's purpose for us to do, and doing it by His plan and with His ability. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. Listen, none of us are better than the next person. We're all sinful. We're all broken. We're all walking in the grace of Jesus Christ. But here's what this passage is teaching us this morning. If you've been a believer for 20 years, you shouldn't still be struggling with profanity. Remember what we started off this morning about growth? And growing, If you've been following Christ for 20 years, you should start letting some of this stuff go by now. And if you haven't, why not? If you've been following God for 10 years, you should know by now you shouldn't be gossiping about everybody that you work with. If you've been following God for any length of time, you should have begun to make changes in how you live. But listen, you can't do it on your own. It goes back to the grace that we walk in Jesus Christ. But God is calling us to grow past all of these situations. To grow past gossip, to grow past slander, to grow past just profanity, to grow past evil thoughts, to grow past moments where we want to make them look bad so we can look good, to grow past self-protection, to grow past self-exaltation. That as we grow closer to God, we begin to let these other things go because we don't need them anymore. Because God is ordaining our steps. Listen, James is talking about how do we do this? So I'm going to answer it in verses 13 through 18. And I'm going to pick up the pace here this morning. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Man, you want to mark something down? That's the part to mark right there. How do we change what we're doing? How do we become more like Christ in what we say? It only happens through redemption in Jesus Christ. Listen, once we've been redeemed, our tongue will begin to speak differently. And listen, sometimes we have to pray prayer. I will tell you guys, as a very young man, a teenager in my late teen years, man, I struggled with profanity. Oh, I struggled. Every time I would get irritated, I just let it fly. And I struggled with it. But I came to a point in my life that I didn't want that to control me anymore. And I wanted to let that go. And I began to pray things like this: God, help me with my tongue. God, help me not even to think that. God, help me to move past that, because I don't want to be an ill reflection on the kingdom of God. God, I don't want to say something that people are going to look at me and go, what kind of Christian is that? God, I want to change and be changed into your image. Help me let go of those words. Help me let go of that speech. And listen, I'll tell you, you'll have moments. Remember we talked about this the other day. When you pray for patience, God doesn't just give you patience. What does he give you? An opportunity to be patient. Right? When we say, God, help me to be patient. Okay, get ready. He doesn't have a giant bucket of patience. He just pours out on you. He says, switch number one. When the devil comes to him and says, hey, I can get them to do this. He's like, well, you know, they pray for patience. I believe they can stand. Try them. He allows the devil to give us opportunities to demonstrate patience. Here's how we know when we let things go. I can remember I was at a church working. And I don't remember what we were doing, but I remember I hit my thumb with a hammer so hard I thought I'd knocked it off. Anybody ever done that? No, some of you are master carpenters, I know. So others, you know, are like Ivan. Demolition. And I hit my thumb so hard, and I thought I was going to pass out. But guess what happened? I didn't even think the words that I used to let come out. And my thumb was all jacked up, but I was so proud. I was so happy. I was like, whoo, there were like 10 deacons right here in this line. And I didn't say a cuss word at all. Thank the Lord. I still got a job. Hallelujah. Right? I can remember it happening. I mean, I waylaid it. And they're all looking at me, and I think they were thinking, any second, here it comes, right? They just wanted me to do it so it would be okay when they did it. That's all it was about, right? The young guy slipped, so we need to follow Lee, so we didn't feel bad, right? But I remember that moment, that it was like a marked moment in my life. I'm like, wow, I didn't even think that. Didn't even think it. God, thank you. I am growing after all. And they said it wasn't possible. Thank you, God, for your help and your strength and your redemptive work in my life. And listen, y'all, I know that's small. That's such a small thing. But listen, for some people, that's a huge thing. They're changed. Some people have been raised in households that all they've ever heard in their lives are speech that's unbecoming anything other than the bottom of a sailor ship. Right? No offense to the Navy guys. But we can't function in life that way, but sometimes that's all they've known. So it's harder to let go for some people than it is for others. And I'll tell you, I wasn't raised in a home like that, but I picked it up along the way, and it held on to me for years. But for you, it may be other things. It may be the inability to let go of gossip. Man, you just love being the link in the chain. And it does something to you. It makes you feel good, or it helps you find your purpose, man, that I'm able to stand in the morning and everybody's talking about everybody, and I'm included. I'm part of the group. Listen, I challenge you this morning, start a new group. Start a new group that comes in and says, hey, you know what, every Monday morning, I think we should pray. Because, man, you know what, there's lots going on in people's lives here. Why don't you and I meet at the Word Cooler, and we'll pray for 5 minutes before we start our days on Monday. I will tell you, you're probably going to start off by yourself. Maybe one more. But if you start the change, eventually people will come over because they're drawn to the power of God. And when they see the work of God moving within you, they're drawn. They're drawn to it. They need it. They crave it, even though they don't know it. And you can be the example of life in their lives. Listen, worldly wisdom will lead a tongue infused with bitterness that will show itself through bagging. The denial of truth. That's what worldly wisdom will get you when you're depending on the wisdom of the world. You'll find brokenness. You'll find shattered dreams. You'll find frustration. But when you turn to the godly wisdom that comes from Scripture and from godly counsel, you'll find peace. Man, I don't know about you, but there's a lot to be said about peace. To lay down in bed at night and to know that you're resting in the arms of God. And that God has your life no matter what is going on. God has you. There's a lot to be spoken for about peace. And godly wisdom will lead to pure speech. Godly wisdom will help you tame the tongue. You can't do it on your own. You'll never do it on your own. And if you walk away from godly wisdom, you'll fall right back into the practices that had engripped you and ensnared you before. Listen, worldly wisdom is earthly, it's carnal, and it leads to destruction. But godly wisdom brings about peace and hope through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Godly wisdom only comes from above. And James is challenging us today to take a deep look inside of our lives. And what drives us? When things happen, what do we think about in those situations? Listen, you say, well, I mean, I don't say it, but I sure think it. What's the Bible say about our thoughts? That if we think it, it's just like doing it. Now, I will tell you, I'll give you the line, sometimes we should just keep our mouth shut, right? And let God deal with our thoughts. Just because you think it doesn't mean you should say it. You may have tackled the I don't say it anymore part, but I'm still thinking it. Listen, pray and ask God, God, help me to let go of those thoughts. God, when I get backed against the wall, I don't want to come out swinging. God, I want to display godly wisdom and speech that is peaceable and leads to righteousness. Man, have you ever prayed that for your life today? God, give me speech that pleases you. God, give me thoughts that please you. God, help me to lay down my old self so that I can follow you. And God, that I can hear what you're speaking to my life today. Listen, it only comes through God's redeeming grace. So I want to wrap up with a couple questions today. With your words, you have the power to speak life or the power to speak death. From this day forward, will your knowledge match your obedience? We talk about that a lot here, folks. Does the knowledge that I have about Jesus Christ match the obedience that I live out every day? Will your knowledge match your obedience when it comes to your speech? Will your knowledge match your obedience when it comes to gossip, when it comes to self-protection or self-exaltation? What will you choose today? So I want to wrap this up with a life application. There's some of you in this room today that need to go to other people and ask for forgiveness. They may be sitting right beside you. They may not. But you know God is putting this in your mind right now, that you need to go and ask forgiveness about a situation, something you said, something you spoke, that you need to go and correct. And God is going to challenge you to do that this week. I mean, it may be a phone call to someone from years ago. God's challenged you today to make some things right. Others of you in this place today, you've let things harbor and twist and turn within you over something that was spoken to you by someone else years and years ago. Maybe when you were a small child. Maybe when you were a teenager. Maybe when you were a young adult. Maybe last week. Who knows? But man, you've been harboring it and you've been holding on to it. And God is telling you today, in order to move past this and to become the righteous person that He desires, you got to let some things go. And so God is going to give you an opportunity to fix that with that person. And you may say, Ivan, I didn't do anything wrong. Of course you didn't. But sometimes saying the very words of, I'm sorry for whatever happened, but I want you to know, this is how I felt about this situation. But I've been praying for you and for myself, and I needed to call you and let you know that I've let this go. Man, it's powerful. You want to let go of some chains that are holding you back and breaking you down? Man, go to someone and ask for forgiveness from when you've done something that was wrong or spoke something that was wrong into their lives and ask them to forgive you. And then take it a step further. When you've been crushed by something, and you may not be there yet, this may not be able to happen in the next couple of hours or days, but as God empowers you to go to that person and say, I forgive you for the situation that happened, and I want you to know for years I harbored this, but I'm letting it go because God has given me the ability to move forward. Listen, God's going to do something amazing in your life when you do that. He's going to do something amazing. Because James 3 tells us that there's a redemptive work. He pours out peace, godly wisdom, and righteousness upon us when we follow. When we follow His word, when we hide it within us, that what we hide away is what's going to come out. Man, I challenge you today to hide this word in your heart this morning so that God can do the work within you. Let's pray together this morning.